Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. We are here with Dr. Ray Garubo, and graduate student extraordinaire, PhD student, Danny, and I'm your host, Jared. And today we're going to be talking about political harmony, and what an exciting time to be alive. How are you doing today, Dr. Garubo?
I am fine. Thank you, Jared. Thanks for hosting us again at Florida Tech, the CAMET program. And I appreciate you and Danny helping me get my story out about how we can help local government.
Hey, it's our pleasure. You have a great story, a great product here, and I think what you're doing is quite interesting.
Thank you very much.
What can you tell us? What can you tell us today about political harmony?
Well, I want to emphasize that it's all voluntary on the part of the public. The emphasis of Political Harmony Survey, which is now called a Civic Assessment Leadership Survey, Civic Leadership Assessment is what we named it, because we realize that the public is a part of civic leadership. They are the constituents. They are the customers. They are the people who vote and pay taxes in this great country of ours, and they should be heard from in more scientific, and I say that word scientific with some pause, because it is a scientific instrument that's theory based and statistically valid and reliable. So the public's voice is expressed in the civic leadership assessment questionnaire, and the feedback that I and my staff provide the customer who pays for this. I want to emphasize again to our listeners that we are a for-profit Chapter S Florida corporation. We're not a nonprofit. We charge a fair amount of money for this because it's valuable. And we've noticed in the past that if people don't pay for something they think is valuable, they won't think it's valuable.
That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, the civic leadership assessment is the focus of the public to get their feedback to city council people, school board people, and even HOA board of directors. It gives them scientific feedback on how they're coming across. Now, I will say that I had a presentation since our last broadcast to a person who said, well, these are not facts. These are just opinions. And I agree with her. They are. I can't tell you if question number five, there seems to be enough money to provide the necessary services. I wouldn't know how to do that. I could hire an accountant, I suppose, and the county would be involved or something like that. But it's a perception we're talking about, much like neighborhoods, much like reputations of retailers, that sort of thing. You know, when you buy an appliance, when you buy a purchase an automobile, when you do something like that, you look at the name. We call it a brand sort of thing. So you want to provide the public a way to give feedback to their elected officials, who they elected, and who are volunteers. And I want to talk about that today as well. So the Civic Leadership Assessment Questionnaire has been tested over and over again in the private sector. You won't find this on anything except our website. And it's data that you can give people who want to do a better job, because I think down to earth, elected officials have a lot of reasons to run for public office, but they do want to do a good job. They just needed some guidance, and that's what this is about.
That's a great, great tool.
It seems like there's been a push to involve the public, but how do we do that? How do we get the public involved in taking this assessment?
Well, that's a good question. It takes anger, quite frankly. It takes somebody who's really ticked off. I'm sick of the mayor saying this. I'm sick of the police chief saying that. I'm sick of the city clerk not giving me my paperwork. It's that dissatisfaction with which they think is a democratic transaction. So somebody being upset also starts with a little resentment. We've tried to talk to these people. We've tried at the microphone, at a council meeting or a board meeting. They won't listen. We've tried the press. We've tried political parties. We've tried lawsuits. And we've tried recall elections. They're not listening. And we can't agree on our story, because when one person has a problem with zoning, another person has a problem with taxation, another person has a problem with the roads, and the person has a problem with the curriculum. They're all specific anecdotal problems. Generally, all that feeds into this 30-item survey, which we tested out in 2005, and it's holding steady for all this time as a valid and reliable questionnaire. The answers to which you agree or disagree to a various level. And many times, this anger and resentment, it gets exposed or shared. Instead of shaking your finger at the mayor or the superintendent at a meeting, you say, well, we've got some data, and we have a sentiment polling company we hired, Political Harmony Consulting Services Incorporated, who has given us some data and measured it to give you the feedback on two things, what's going well and what's going not so well, in our opinion.
So how does someone get started with this process? I mean, after you get angry, after you've, you know, ruffled your feathers and stomped your foot, and after, you know, after all that, how do you get started with this part?
You talk to your neighbors, you talk to people on social media, you talk to people on other platforms, I don't want to name them, but you see if you're the only person that's have those feelings, resentment and anger. Maybe you're the only one. And someone say, I like what's going on, I'm not going to get involved in this. It starts with a person and a group. Much like in our colonial times, we had committees, we had neighborhoods, you know, the 13 colonies got together, and they were so different from each other. And they got together and they talked and they discussed things with each other in a civil way. Yes, there was heated arguments. Actually, there were some fist fights well, one time. It's a person who says, I'm sick and tired, and I want to raise the money, or I've got the money to pay this fee to Political Harmony Consulting Services, and let's measure before we meddle. Let's see what's going well and not so well. That gets them, that mental model, that paradigm gets them to not a transactional point of view, but a transformational point of view. What our clients have discovered is a lot of things are going well. As we said in the first podcast, one of our questions is public meetings are well conducted. Pretty much they are. Now you'll find on YouTube and other video places, you know, some great videos of very out of control meetings where a council person can't get a second on a motion and a city attorney tells the school board that's illegal. You know, it gets raucous. And as we said in our last podcast, that these are not public meetings. These are meetings held in public. These elected officials, and we elected them. And when we're not happy, we vote them out of office. In fact, some people are termed out. By that I mean they're prohibited by law that they can't run again for that public office. It's two consecutive terms, and then that's it. That's a mixed blessing in my view. Because I think it's throwing away experience, but you're also throwing the rascals out if they're not doing their job.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I feel like there's some people who do their job well, and then term limits term them out, and now you're back to the same issue that you had before with somebody you don't know.
Well, let me amplify that point a little bit. We had a client in Iowa years ago who were very dissatisfied. There are 100 counties in Iowa. Actually, I think 99 or 100 now, kind of in the state of Iowa. And a client came to me and said, "We want to give these people your assessment survey." So the first thing we do at Political Harmony is we do some research on the municipality, on the school board, or the city council. And we realize, well, you know, you've got five people. Sometimes it's seven. Three of them are termed out. Why are you bothering? I mean, I don't like to turn away our client and turn away our client's money, but watchful waiting and being patient because they're not going to run again. Yes, they're troublesome. Yes, they are not well-intentioned, maybe not the brightest people in the world, but bear with me, bear with each other, because they can't run again. So don't waste your money on a solution that'll happen in time.
That's good. So if they are termed out, is there any benefit at all? Like if, for instance, if they were trying to clarify their thoughts of what they wanted from somebody, would that be a benefit at all?
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, because collectively, we're talking about individuals who are not authorized to act as individuals. They act as a group, the council, the board of directors. It's not one person, it's a group of them. We have to work together as people to work out our differences of opinion. But many municipalities, and I blame the appointed officials for this, city managers are not happy with me about this, I will tell you that. City managers are a hard sell. They protect the council. The superintendent protects the board. The attorneys protect their client in a legal sense, which I understand. But what happens is that they have fallen into some bad habits. Just simple bad habits. And they don't explain. They don't take the time to explain. They don't advertise meetings well enough. They look like good old boys and girls doing their thing behind closed doors. Well, there are closed door sessions. That's legal because they have personnel items that they have to discuss, the performance of people. And the civic leadership assessment is an evaluation. It's a communication device, but also an evaluation of well-intentioned people who at their own expense or somebody's expense run for public office to represent us.
Yeah, that's crazy. So when you collect all of this data, like you collected, surveys, what have you, how is that, is it, do you consider that private information? You mentioned something like the person owned, that they own this information, but is it private? Do you have privacy concerns like from your clients?
I don't have privacy concerns, but I have ethical concerns. And the privacy concerns is that if you paid for this survey, you own the data. You paid for it. You selected the respondents. We give you a code to use when people whose opinion you value and people whose opinion you want, even those who don't agree with you, which we encourage, that is a private enterprise transaction between Political Harmony and the client. What you do with that data is up to you.
You don't do you collect personal information of your respondents to the survey and share that? Is that
No. We have IP addresses. That's all we have is IP addresses. Yeah. You know, we don't know who takes the survey. We will ask the client, well, we've collected now 17 usable, quote unquote, surveys. Because some surveys are not usable. The people, the respondents, we call them, did not answer enough questions for our algorithm to work, for our calculations to be bona fide. And I'll say you have 17 people who responded, but only 12 of these are really useful for comparison purposes. But the data belongs to you, and it's arithmetically calculated in an Excel spreadsheet, which we give you. You own it. And I gave you some interpretation for it as well.
That's quite a body of qualitative analysis that you're doing.
Yes, it is.
So I wouldn't be able to like message you and get information on other surveys or other people that have completed this information to find out their assessment results?
No.
What about if I wanted to have this assessment results for another person or another group if I'm like competing with them and I want to get maybe some dirt on them?
I was with you until you used the word dirt. Well, that's up to you. You know, you paid for it. What if you share it with your mom or the FBI or the IRS? That's up to you because it's proprietary. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hoping you'll be a nice person and say these people are trying to do a good job. We're trying to help them do a good job. But yes, you can share it. It has been shared, especially out in California, but all this was perfected years ago, because we take a regional approach. Like we're producing this podcast in Melbourne, Florida. And Melbourne, Florida is part of the Space Coast region in Central Florida. So we call ourselves Space Coast Communities. The same is true in other parts of the country as well. So it's a regional approach. What one city will do, another city will do. What school board will do, another school board will do.
You know, Danny's question begged another question from me. How do you select your clients, and have you ever rejected them?
Two good questions. The first one, I don't select them, they select me. We don't have a rigorous advertising campaign by design. We're not out to get people. And this is not a hobby of mine, I've devoted my career to it. But they have to come to us. They have to say, we need a more scientific approach, a more logical approach to help people get out of their own way and help us, that we need to help them help themselves. I have rejected clients. I have called people, usually at the payment section of our relationship, because they want to pay by credit card or check or, you know. One person actually met me at a restaurant with cash. I said, I can't do that. We have to put this in
the briefcase?
Yeah, no. Well, it doesn't cost that much, but to take a briefcase. And yes, I have. I have said to a person, you know, after talking to you now for 30 minutes on the phone, I think you want a weapon. I think you're mad at the mayor. And according to our research, you ran for public office in this community 5 years ago. And I still think you're angry that you lost. So it's too vindictive. It's too, you know, if it smells bad, it probably is bad. And I've turned money down, much to the consternation of my partners.
I bet.
Yeah. And we're not going to be a part of that. This is developmental. It's ethical. It's benevolent. It's helping people do a better job.
It sounds like a great service, honestly. This is something that is sorely missed in many communities. And I know here in the Space Coast, we have all kinds of wild school board meetings with all kinds of stuff going on.
We do.
And I hear about it in the news all the time. And it would be, I think, interesting to see what your research would divulge about our community here.
Well, people do share it with each other, although I will tell you over the years that we've had satisfied clients who do not advertise for us. They will not tell people, well, we hired Ray's outfit, Political Harmony Consulting Services, and use his survey. They don't want to do that too much. They want to make it like it's their own idea, or their own investigation, and their own inquiry. But I want to point out to our listeners that this survey, these 30 questions, were not haphazardly constructed. Each one was painfully written and rewritten and rewritten again, and based upon good political science, good democratic values, left, center, and right, blue, red, and other colors as well. And the benefit at the very last part of copywriting this survey and getting it out there was the feedback I got from elected officials themselves. Originally, there were only 5 categories that this was divided into. Now we have 6: communication, conflict management, ethics and public trust, knowing the job, financial management, and leadership. 6 dimensions of political harmony that we get from research in the literature, and you doctoral students know this very well, what makes up a collective body of governing people to represent us. I didn't have ethics and public trust when I first started out. And a mayor talked me into that. And actually, a association executive director talked me into that. Well, where's the ethics part? And I said, Sam, I do not want to get into that. You know, that's talking about perception and image. You know, who knows who's doing what? And he said, Ray, you got to have that. So I checked it out. I talked to other people. Yeah, you should have that. So we call it ethics and public trust.
Seems important, honestly. You know, people like to have a reason to trust somebody, you know, or a reason to not trust somebody.
Well, I think you can trust their motive. We all make mistakes.
It's true.
We learn from our mistakes.
That's right.
You know learning theory better than I do. Are you learning from your mistakes? Our survey, our civic leadership assessment, shows you where the public thinks you're making errors. Maybe you're not. Oftentimes, here's an example. Oftentimes, something will come up to the microphone at a city council meeting, mostly, and have some wild idea. They didn't want to go to the city manager. They didn't want to go to the mayor. They want to go directly So you have five people sitting up there above us. The city clerk is there, the city attorney is there, the police chief is around somewhere. And all of a sudden someone said, well, why aren't you doing this? Well, the short answer to that question, which is coming out of the blue, is that it's probably not legal, especially when it comes to personnel. And you'll see sidebar conversations with the mayor and the city attorney, or the city attorney and the city manager and the mayor. And it looks, appearance, perception, the image, it looks like they're conniving. No, they're not. They're checking with each other on their individual responsibilities of what's legal and ethical. And oftentimes, the city attorney will say, this is a personnel item. This is a protected item. This is a constitutional item. And we should discuss it privately without hurting anybody. So it's that kind of interaction that the public sees and misunderstands.
That makes sense. So you're not only does your survey check to see if people are, you know, being perceived well, but it's also checking the people and kind of informing them in a way to what they should expect from their elected officials.
Yes. So
that's pretty powerful.
Thank you. I agree.
That's good. That's good. Wow, Ray, I'm more excited than I was even last episode about your service.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, anyway, let me tell you what you get if you pay the fee and enough people have responded. Yeah. Here's what you get. You get an email from me with an attached message saying, we have your data. And we've captured it in Excel. I think they're called workbooks, Excel workbooks. We have all your numbers. They measure a lot of things for you. Many people can interpret that themselves. They don't need me. They understand data arrays, A-A-R-A-Y, arrays like that. But I don't send it to you over the internet. We learned, most lessons are learned the hard way, that people will mess around with that workbook. So on the website, you'll see a picture of flash drive. When we have decided that all the respondents are going to respond, it takes about an average of about 12 days to get it all in there because of some stragglers. So I'll call you and I'll say, Jared, you said you sent out 25 invitations. We only got 17 back. You want me to calculate these or you want to wait a little longer? When you decide you had enough, because you'll call people and say, hey, did you do your survey? I forgot, I'm sorry. That kind of thing. You and I work together. You're the client, and I'm the provider of this analysis. When all has been concluded, you say, okay, start analyzing. We analyze it, and we put it on a flash drive, and I mail it to you. U.S. mail. Wow. And it's in the flash drive. That's a product. Like I'm Amazon and I'm whatever. You know, retailer you go to, I give you the product and that's yours now. I don't, it's off the internet.
So do you keep a copy of it?
Yes, that's a good question. But only by numbers and only by categories because we have doctoral students like yourselves who would like to know what's going on and what's improving over time. As I said in our first podcast, to our, not surprise, but to our delight, that some of these questions, which were very serious questions when we first started out, are being answered. Question number six is an example. The board president or mayor is adequately prepared for this leadership position. Historically, we were getting mixed answers on that, but not lately, because professional associations, and you'll see it on our website, ICMA, American School Boards Association, all have training programs on how to be a better city council person, how to be a better school board member. So there's staff development and money for that so they can be qualified to be in that position to which they were elected. So those things have improved.
Yeah, progress.
Thank you. Once you get your flash drive, I'll call you and say, well, any questions? Yes, no, we're surprised. We thought this would be this conclusion or that conclusion. So what do we do with it? That's the question I want to talk about for a few minutes here. There are two ways of approaching feedback to elected officials. One is you forewarn them. You say, listen, we have engaged a private sentiment polling company, a scientific-based company, and paid our personal dollars for this assessment. We want to let you know ahead of time. You can go on the website and see what the questions are. We're not going to tell you who our respondents are, but they're a local neighborhood here in this area. They're a group of people here. They're kind of a group of people. And that, I think, is a better way to go. You tell them up front, you're getting a report card. And it's coming. So there you are.
That's a service in itself. They're going to exactly. be like, wow, people are paying attention. Well, that, I better tighten my grip.
See, the whole thing is, thank you, Jared. The whole thing is you want to start a discussion. See, what's happening is that people are not talking about the right things. They're not talking about the right ideas, the right things. This forces them into that conversation. And some will say, how dare you ask a person if our administrators are providing adequate leadership? Well, are they?
That is a fair question.
Yeah. You know, have you fired anybody? Have you put anybody on probation? Has anybody gone to jail? Any city attorneys said, you know, they're doing bad things? You got to ask yourself that. You represent us. And people, I think, are basically good, but maybe not so careful about their ethics and their work value, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that's I think that just by simply asking these questions, you're doing a service for the whole community.
Well, thank you. Let me go into number 20 here. When the votes are cast, there are no grudges held by any losing side. Mm. That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. That's really a tough one. Because people will say, oh, no, I understand, it's fine. I thought this person would do this and do that, and they didn't, but I'm okay with that. No, they're not okay with that. I think, this has come from social psychology, I think some people are upset about life, their marriage, their employment, whoever, and they can't work out that inner conflict, intrapersonal conflict. So they project it, and this comes from a good theoretician called Morton Deutsch. Wonderful research he's done, still quoted. So we pass that off to something else. I don't get along with my wife, so the mayor is going to hear about this. Not about me, about the mayor.
And the mayor's not even your wife.
Exactly. It's projection. I'm out of my realm here a little bit, but... you know, they're angry people and they want to express themselves. Yeah. And they're picking the wrong fight. Yeah, and I talked to some people out of this. You know, you sound like you're upset about things. Well, I am, Dr. Ray. I'm not happy with the way the council's doing this and the school board's crazy and that kind of stuff. Well, what's going well in your life? On the phone, I try to talk them into, are you in a balanced point of view? Are you in a balanced frame of mind? And many times it's not. They want to do an I gotcha. And I won't take their money, and I'll say, I'm sorry, I don't think you're ready for a transformational assistance to elected officials who you elected. Yeah. These are your people, this is your town. But sometimes we say no because the motive is not right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I'm glad that you do that because it seems to validate a bit of what you're trying to accomplish here.
I think so too. Well, that's about all the time I have for our listeners, and I appreciate your questions.
I love what you've got going on with political harmony, and I think that you've given us a lot to think about, and hopefully this will lead to a more just society where people care about each other a little bit more.
Amen, brother.
Thank you.